Well, I hope you guys understand a whole lot more about the political culture by the time we're finished. And in order to help facilitate that, I've got something I want you to do. We're going to have you guys in these two rows elect a representative. Okay, got about a minute to do that. You two rows, you're going to elect a representative. You two rows are going to elect a representative. The same with you guys, and you all back there are a part of this group, okay? So you guys are going to, just out of this group, you're going to elect a representative. You guys on the couch are a part of these two rows. You're going to elect a representative. And then you guys are going to elect a representative. As soon as you've elected the person, send them up here to me. Okay? Here it goes. Have a seat. Take your rightful place right up there. Okay, take your rightful place. Now just those six seats. Take your rightful place. All right, we're missing one. And take your rightful place. All right, you guys have been duly elected. I'm going to have a couple jobs for you guys. One of them is going to be helping us with the environment in this room, but there's something I'm going to need you to discuss in the meantime. But first, I need a couple of observers. I need a couple of people who are, you know, pretty observant, who can write, who have something to write with, a pad and a pencil, who can observe what they do during their time, and then you'll need to get on the microphone and bring a report to us. Anybody kind of observant, good on the microphone, can write? Yes, okay, get your pad and pencil and just go stand over there, kind of stand over there behind them. What's your name?
Roy.
Okay, Roy, just stand right there. You're gonna have to be able to hear him, so you can just kind of y'all just ignore him, but he's watching. And your names are
Josh,
James,
Blake,
Angel,
Jordan,
Elizabeth. And Elizabeth. All right, what you guys are gonna do is you guys are gonna be responsible. There's $800 on this card. Okay. You guys are going to be responsible for deciding what to do with this money. Here are your choices. Are you listening? You can go get a latte or a specialty drink for everybody here. All right. You can get everyone a $10 gift certificate from the Christian bookstore here at Southern Seminary. You can give everyone 10 bucks here, and they can take it and use it, you know, as they're going home or whatever. Or you can use the money for your collective youth groups, for, you know, some project that you have, mission trip, or go to Panama City, or, you know, have a pizza party or whatever. So your job, what's your name again? Roy? You're going to have to work it out with them, Roy. Sorry. So you guys go ahead, make your decision. I'll be back with you in just a second. So these guys have been duly elected, and they've been charged with the task of how to spend this money. So I'm not sure. I've never met them before. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Many of you know them, but they've been elected, and they've got this task to do. And this is much as it is in our culture, is that we elect people, right, and we give them responsibilities. We put them in charge of spending our collective money, and they make those decisions. And we're going to find out just a minute from our journalist. We're going to get his spin on it and exactly what's going on up there in that group, and we'll get a report. But we're going to be talking today about impacting this culture, and how do you go about doing that? There's a question about whether culture is influenced by politics, or whether politics is influenced by culture. Which is it, do you think?
Yes.
You think it's both?
Yes.
You think it's both? Why do you think it's both? What's your name?
Kenny,
why do you think it's both?
Well, I think obviously society influences politics because it, you know, morals
general people's beliefs are shaped by biblical Christianity
Wait. This is the culture right here.
Okay.
And you think this culture has had some impact on them and that decision?
If they've come from the culture, yes.
Yeah. So how can we influence them?
Vote.
Okay, so we voted.
Okay.
But we didn't really know what they were going to be doing.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of the way it is in real politics. So
right.
A lot of people don't really know what's going
right.
on.
Right, uninformed
there.
Public. Yeah. Uninformed public.
So people are just kind of, they're just kind of making decisions. And then if they do something stupid, we kind of get mad about it, right?
Right, but it's our fault.
Yeah.
That we're not informed.
Okay. Anybody think that politics influences culture? You think it's opposite? Or do you agree with them that politics is downstream? Politics is downstream from culture. Yeah, you think it's both. Now, why do you say that? Stand up. Tell us your name.
I think it's both because in today's society you have a lot of people that based on what's available to them, they're going to try to get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the welfare system today.
Mm-hmm.
People several years ago would have to work farm their land in order to make a living, in order to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Today, and based on politics, they're willing to stay at home and collect a paycheck rather than have the pride in work. So that's politics flowing downhill to society.
Mm-hmm. So where that value of work, where did that come from? That I mean, you have the idea that's a good idea. Where'd you get that?
Parents, typically.
Yeah, so parents influence your values, you're saying? Okay.
All right. All right, let's see. You guys come to a decision yet? You're still working? All right, they need more time. So they're working. It's going to be anxious. I'm anxious to see what they're coming up with on that. So I think we would probably agree, right, that politics, and what is politics? This is, we have people that are elected. So the state, you know, some of you guys are from Ohio, from Tennessee, from Kentucky. You elect state senators. You elect state representatives, and they go and they represent you in the state, and then you elect U.S. congressmen and U.S. senators, like your Senator Mitch McConnell, very powerful senator. He goes and he represents you and a lot of other people, frankly, because he's the minority leader of the Senate, in the U.S. Senate, so he really speaks for all Republicans in Washington as the minority leader. So you have this happening. Now, what if we could pick a person from this group to represent the whole group? Is there somebody here that feels like, yeah, I think I represent the whole group? Anybody here think they represent the whole group? No one? No? Yes. All right, come here. What's your name? Kim?
Kip.
Kappy. Okay, come here, Kip. All right. Does anybody else feel like they represent the whole group?
You know, one of the things that we have, Kip, one of the things that we have a problem with is finding enough Christians who have the right biblical worldview, who are willing to make the necessary sacrifices in order to run for an office in a place where oftentimes the media and others, your opponents, dig into your past. They embarrass you, right? They pull out the things you were doing in kindergarten, you know.
And they
bring that out. But so any opposition to electing Kip as governor of our class? No opposition? Come on up, Kip. Kip is now the governor of the class. So come on up, Kip. Just stand up here with me, if you will. So what happens is when people get elected, are you guys done yet?
Yeah.
Okay. When people get elected, they now are in authority, aren't they? You remember what Dr. Moeller said last night about authority? What did he say?
To obey it.
So when the person's running for office, do they have the authority while they're running?
No.
Not until they get elected. But when they get elected, we hand you the mantle of authority. And for a limited time period, you have some power that's been given to you, essentially, by the people through the Constitution or whatever the particular document would be. Now,
You have a relationship. You will have a relationship with these people. Let's see how. Just stand by, Kip. Let's see what happened on this. Let me get my journalist over here. You took his pad away? Okay, come on over here. You're trying to write for him. That was part of the qualifications of being a journalist. Come on up to the microphone.
I can write.
You can write. Okay,
No.
Okay. All right. What happened in the meeting?
Okay.
Speak up.
My handwriting is not very legible, so...
You can't read your own handwriting?
No, I can. I just need a second to interpret it.
Okay, what... Just tell me, what did they decide over there?
They decided...
Yes.
...that...
I was counting on you.
Yeah.
What did they decide? Are they going to buy the lattes? Are they going to buy the gift certificates? Are they going to give everybody money back? Or are they going to... They're going to use the money for their own youth groups. Okay, you stand here and think about this for a minute. All right, was there a leader that emerged here? Did anybody kind of take the lead? Okay, what's your name? Stand up. All right, come over here.
All right, what in your opinion, what happened in this group?
We were pretty much torn like half and half from the beginning. She wanted, like me and us three kind of wanted to give money, like $10 to everybody, and they wanted to give to the youth groups.
Yeah. Okay, so what did you decide?
I decided that...
Now, what did the group decide?
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, at first, they wanted to give it to the youth groups because we'd take it back and it would go to missions. But I thought if we... You know, or we decided if we gave it to everybody $10 and they wouldn't spend it at the bookstore, all that money is going to Boys College, and Boys College gives the missions. So we're getting, you know, people's buying a book.
Killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
So is that what you decided?
Yes.
So everybody gets a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just curious, why didn't you just give them money back? Why didn't you give everybody $10?
Maybe not everybody's a Christian and they wouldn't spend the money God, you know, would have that money go to missions.
So what you're saying is that you feel like you kind of know better how they should spend the money than they do. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Politics.
Okay, wait, maybe.
Potentially.
Do you all, why do you think y'all have maybe more knowledge than they do about how they should spend, what should be done with the money?
Well, just with our particular worldview being Christian, you mm-hmm. kind of see that there's a specific purpose that is best to spend that towards, mm-hmm. growing in a relationship with God. And so I think that just influenced our decision of where the money should be spent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
That's politics. I mean, they elected us as representatives, which means that they know that we will choose wisely for them what they want.
Do you personally feel like that... They could take the $10 and go to the bookstore. I mean, why did you get the gift certificate forcing them to go to the bookstore instead of just giving them the cash?
Because we believe that if they bought something from the bookstore, it would go towards something not only for them to use for Christ's purpose, but for, you know, boys to use for Christ's purpose.
Okay. All right, that sounds like a reasonable decision. The last group that we had in here actually decided to use half the money for a $5 gift certificate, and then they decided that they were going to use the rest of the money for their own youth groups. And that's called when the elected officials decide to keep the money for pet projects. Do you know what you call that pork? You call that earmarks. So the last group did earmarks. This group is giving you basically a voucher. They're giving you a voucher that you can use. You can't buy a latte with it. You can't go to McDonald's with it. You're going to have to spend it in the bookstore. How do you feel about that?
That's pretty good. That's all right. It's at least he's going to get something good.
At least he's going to something good, so you can live with that. How do you feel about it?
I think it was a very wise decision to have spent money.
Okay, your place. I'm just hitting a few districts here, ma'am. You feel good about the decision?
I'd take the money.
You would prefer to have the money?
I'd prefer to have the money.
Why would you?
Because I know I have the wisdom to spend it the way I should.
Oh, I see. So, but what happens is when these people get elected and they get the cushy chairs and they get the place of priority and authority, oftentimes they feel like, Kip, don't you think? They feel like they know better.
Oh, certainly they feel that way.
Yeah, why do you think that happens?
Well, I think, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Power corrupts absolutely.
You know who said that?
Was it Francis Schaeffer?
No, it was Lord Acton. Francis Schaeffer probably said it too, but Lord Acton said it first.
Okay.
All right, so let me ask you this. Just sit tight, Governor. Wait, let me just go back to the media. Now, you represent the media, all right? You know what the media has special opportunities. They have press passes. They can go into meetings, and we then read your article, okay, or hear you on the evening news, you know, or listen to your gum chomp, you know, as we hear you on the radio or, you know, whatever. So what – you never want to chew gum in front of a group, just for your information. Okay. What happened, in your opinion, in that group?
Well, start out, it was like a three – it tied the first time they voted.
Yes. Oh, they voted. They actually voted.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was a 3-3 tie.
Yes.
And then what – kind of pushed him over the edge.
Well, Angel made a suggestion which changed the other three people's mind.
Oh, she did. All right. Let me stand by. All right. Are any of you left-handed? All right. All of you here in the community, right here, you seven that are left-handed, go stand up here for me, please. You left-handed ones. Right. Just right up here in the corner. You represent evangelical Christians in the culture. All right, so we've got evangelicals that are over here, and you guys are concerned about the biblical worldview. You have some things you're concerned about in the society, right? What are you concerned about? What's happening out in the culture right now?
Probably the lack of Christianity and how we need to affect that in other people's minds.
So what you're saying is that there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you. You represent maybe, maybe you're the sold-out Christians here, and you represent 7 or 8% of the culture. George Barna actually says that we're losing 85% of our kids when they go off to college. So that there's only around 15% left that's really living for the Lord. That's pretty startling, isn't it? So you're saying that this culture out here, and these are non-Christians.
Not this one specifically.
No. This group, no, we're pretending here.
Oh, okay.
This group, go with me here, all right? Go with me. This group out here, they're lost. All right, they may be going to church. They may be going to FCA. They may have a blessing from time to time. But they're lost. All right, so what you're saying is, and I think you're right on the money here, is that really what these people need is Christ, isn't it? So it's part of, would you say that part of y'all's collective responsibility as evangelicals is to reach this group of people? How are you going to reach them? What's your name?
Ross.
How are you going to reach them, Ross?
Approach them and talk to them.
Oh, okay. So you're going to build relationships?
Yeah.
Do evangelism?
Yeah.
All right. What's your name?
Pearson,
what are you going to do? How are you going to reach these people?
Just the same way Ross said, just to build a relationship with all of them and talk to them about it.
How are you going to build a relationship with all these people? That's a lot. I mean, y'all are from different districts. We got 6 different political districts. Every 2 rows represent a political district, and they elected their own people, and these districts are geographically far apart. How are you going to get to know them?
Maybe make contacts with just a few people and then try and get them to talk to them.
Don't y'all need more people in your group?
Yes.
Yeah, so we actually need to see more of these come to Christ so we can get more of them up here. Right? I stand by. Are any of you left-handed? No, any of you? Kip, are you left-handed? None of you are left-handed. We don't have a single evangelical. You're left-handed. You're left-handed. It's very seldom that we find... We find the media being infiltrated by Christians, but you know what? You better not let your boss find out about this. But you know what? I am glad to see that you are a Christian because you can have tremendous impact in the media. There's not many of your peers out there, your evangelical peers. There's not many of them interested in the media. So I'm going to kind of just stand you right over here with them because you're kind of one of them. Yeah. But we've got a problem here. We've got a problem here because we've got some people here. Now, I know they made the decision about the gift certificate, but they're not evangelicals. And
Yeah, I guess he could have shared the gospel, but he was chewing his gum. But just teasing. So who was elected out of District 1 here? Who's the District 1 rep? All right. Are any of you left-handed? No, none of you are left-handed. Okay. Both. You're both. How about who's your representative up there? All right. Yeah, just hold up. Who's your representative? Okay. Any of you left-handed? None of you left-handed. Okay. All right. Let's go to District number 2. Any of you left-handed? District number 5. Any of you left-handed? District 4. Huh? Somebody all of a sudden become left-handed? Who? Oh, yeah. Well, you don't just get one person per group, for goodness sake. Any of you left-handed back here? Any of you? All right. Who's your representative? Josh, come back. Josh, come on. Okay, what's your name?
Matt.
Matt, we just had an election. We just had an election, and those guys right there... Sorry, Josh, you just got defeated. Yeah, have a seat. just had an election, and because of the hard work of some Christians that gathered around you, you are now a duly elected representative. Go take your rightful place. Go take your rightful place. So now... Mr. Governor, now the Christians have infiltrated this body. Now they have one guy. I don't know how strong he is, and I don't know what his worldview is like. I don't know if he's been discipled. I don't know if he's really thought through a lot of these political issues from the biblical worldview. I'm not sure. I hope that he has, because what I'm hoping is, just like Angel, you're Angel, right? Just like Angel had influenced this group, I'm hoping that you can have a very strong influence here in this group. So you're going to be outvoted sometimes because you're only one and they've got five. So, but you can see how in a political environment, the challenge that believers have, and we are in the minority, as evangelicals. Believe me, not everyone has Dr. Moeller's viewpoint on things. Dr. Moeller, I'm sure glad we have someone that strong to speak on our behalf. Let me ask you this question. Dr. Moeller does his commentary, or you hear him on the radio, and so you guys, who's your representative up there? Angel. All right, so Angel's your representative. You hear Dr. Moeller on the radio, and he's talking about marriage, or he's talking about the abortion issue. How are you going to be able to communicate with Angel? What's your name? Will. How are you going to be able to communicate with Angel to influence her about what you heard Dr. Moeller say?
Letters and emails.
Do you have her email address?
No.
How are you going to get it?
Call her.
So you're going to call her on the phone at the state capitol, right?
Yeah.
And where are you going to get her number?
From her.
Yeah, off the internet, maybe. But you know what, Will? You know what? You should have your representative's email address in your BlackBerry or in your Outlook or, you know, in your Gmail. You should know her. So let me ask you this. You don't know her. You don't have her contact information, but you're going to, you know, she's coming up for election, and you and some of your friends decide that you're going to help her out in her campaign. And 100 of your friends go and walk with her in precincts and do mailings for her. And now let me ask you, do you think you have any more influence than you previously had?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why is that?
Because we actually took part in it.
Ah. You invested in her, and believe me, you do have more influence with her if you did that. So, because she's not left-handed, she's not an evangelical, she may not have opinions about some of these issues. Or maybe she hadn't thought through some of these, or maybe she's not tuning in to Salem Radio Network and hearing Dr. Moeller. And so because of your relationship with her and because of the thinking that you're getting on, that you're doing on this issue, you can influence Angel. You see how that works? So you guys, we do have a vested interest, right, evangelicals, in getting to know these people. I mean, you guys, what are you going to do to get more people in there that represent you? What are you going to do? Any idea?
Brainwash.
You're going to brainwash who?
Although,
how are you going to brainwash these elected officials? They've got the primo seats up there. You can't even get to them without an appointment. How are you going to do that?
Government stuff.
Government stuff. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Me neither.
We're just guessing. We're guessing. We have to have the relationships, but I think you're on to something, because if we can see more people evangelized in this culture, so let's say, for example, that you guys go into this area, because these political districts they have geographical boundaries. You guys go into this political district and you become a Christian. Join them. Yeah, you become a Christian. Your life has been changed. Now, you don't know very much, but you know what? He disciples you. You know what? You all meet together, and he helps you begin to think about these issues from a perspective you haven't thought about it before. And so you really start to develop a heart to reach your culture for Christ. And you guys decide, hey, you know what? Our church is going to go over into this other area, and we're going to try to reach some of these other guys for Christ. And so this young man is at a help me with my microphone cable there. I'm tethered. This young man hears Dr. Moeller speak at this rally, at this stadium, and he becomes a Christian. Come on up and join these guys. He joins these evangelicals up here. You know, we don't have one single girl up here. Did you know that? So you guys recognize that. You go, you know what? We need to bring in a Beverly LaHaye or, you know, somebody else to speak and see some of these women come to Christ. And lo and behold, she does. And she joins you guys. And so the group's beginning to grow. And you guys are, and some of you, man, you know what? Your heart for the lost, everybody sees it, they recognize it, and they encourage you to go to Boyce and get a degree. And you say, I'm going to stay and get my seminary degree at Southern. I'm going to be a missionary. And some of us, you know what? We do need some of our people going out on the field. Don't you think we need to replenish ourselves? And the problem is, if we aren't reaching out to the culture and seeing people come to Christ, we're really not replenishing here. Right, we have a great commission to do this, but I don't think we're doing it. I mean, what's your name?
James.
James, why? What's going on in this society, in this culture? Why aren't we able to replenish? What's the dynamic? Any idea?
We're not evangelizing.
And why not?
We're afraid of what they'll say or think of us.
All right, so there's a little bit of fear involved. Have we trained our people? Are we training our kids in our churches to evangelize, or are we just trying to keep them out of trouble?
It's more of do this and don't do this, but we aren't showing them how we need to go and evangelize and how that can help most of the problems we're having today.
Oh, so it's the fact that the culture is lost that's the problem, right? Yeah, the issue is not there's too much abortion, gay marriage is going on, they're discriminating against Christians, there's violence in schools, there's too much divorce. Would you agree with me that that may be a symptom of the problem, of the real problem that we've identified? It's really the heart. It's really the heart of the people, because, you know what, while you were out there lost, maybe I could convince you that abortion, it's really hurting our people, especially minorities, because Planned Parenthood is targeting our minorities, and maybe I can get you to agree with that. But what happens when you trust Christ? What happens to your heart and your mind regarding abortion when Jesus Christ is your Lord?
What happens is that your mind is changed to look at things through a biblical perspective, so that as you read his word, you realize that all humans have the same significant worth, and that from conception, that the embryo is human, and so that we should treat them as equals, and that we should give them the same amount of right, because they don't have a choice. It's something that they aren't, you can't ask an unborn child.
You know what? Your argument is so good, because what you are saying is that, and I agree with you, and I think you're right, that this culture in general believes in a God. And they believe in a deity, believe in a God, and that they believe that people are created in the image of God. So your argument is, if people are created in the image of God, then that baby, or that fetus, or that little tissue in you is created in the image of God. Therefore, we shouldn't eliminate it. So, but your mindset's changed because your heart's changed.
Yes.
Now, here's what we're trying to do. When we skip the part about reaching the culture, what I'm trying to get you to do is I'm trying to get you to think biblically when you're not a Christian. You see the problem there? Maybe it's pragmatic for you to choose the biblical decision. For example, teaching abstinence. Abstinence is practical, right? Because anybody can make the argument that if you abstain from sexual relations until you're married, you're going to be less likely to contract this or that or have this happen. So it's a practical argument. But when it comes to something like embryonic stem cell research, anybody know anything about embryonic stem cell research? Yeah, let's come back to my saved girl over here. What's embryonic stem cell research?
That is when they take the fetus or the cells when they are only like a few days old.
Up to 14 days.
Yes. And they harvest them. And what they do is that they use them to replenish other people's tissues that may be decaying, because the stem cells can change into different sorts of tissue.
Theoretically. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
But the issue is that you don't have to have an embryo to do that. You can do it with adults.
Adult stem cells.
Yes.
Okay. Now, but if I'm using the pragmatic argument, I mean, those embryos are just sitting in Louisville at this center in deep freeze, and these people probably aren't even going to use these things. So why waste them? I mean, shouldn't we use these if we could potentially help people? I mean, it's only 14 days old. I mean, it's just tiny. You have to look under a microscope to see it. Why not go ahead and let's just use it to help people?
You can ask him.
Because it's alive, and I think God meant it to be that way.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. So, you know, we have plenty of people in our culture who have no idea what's going on. Because you know what? It's impossible to know about everything. It is impossible to know about everything. So maybe you just haven't had time to read about that yet. You know, and you know, you've thought about it a little bit. Have you read anything on it? How did you find out what you knew? You just a guess?
Parents.
Just okay, your parents. So, but don't we evangelicals, don't we have some obligation to inform people about why things are important to us? Because look, if you don't, and he gets elected. Who's from his district? Out of here. You're now elected. Because you know what? He's sharp. He's cool. He plays sports. His father was a race car driver. And he ran for office, and he's elected. Evangelicals, how you feeling? How you feeling about him being in office when it comes to defeating embryonic stem cell research? You feeling a little nervous about that? You ought to be. Somebody needs to get with him, and if you wait until they've been elected, it's too late. It's too late. You got to get to him earlier. And that's why, y'all, even if it means you at school speaking up in your classrooms and in even a more public forum, speaking up in an intelligent and an articulate way about the issues, to try to persuade our friends that this issue is important, and tying this back to values from biblical Christianity that have been guiding this country since the beginning,
then what we wind up with is we wind up with elected officials who at least have thought about the issue. But here's what still can happen. Here's how you can salvage it. Let's say, Drew gets an internship. And Drew is now the legislative aide to this representative. Have a seat. And Drew's smart. He studied a lot. Scored high on the SAT. Does a lot of independent reading. Went to Summit. Just did everything. His youth director has been discipling him. He's been on mission trips. I mean, the guy's just a walking Bible. This representative, well, he's happy, fun. Everybody likes him. He was a basketball star. You know, his father was a race car driver. He got elected because of his name. Oh, my credit card. Thank you. He got elected because of his name, not because of his intellect. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? People get elected for the weirdest reasons. Here's what we need. We need Drews who are whispering in their ear. Assistants. Can you think of someone in the Bible who whispered in the ear of a leader?
Probably the disciples. Probably they did whisper into the ears of the leaders. But
how about Old Testament? How about Joseph? Joseph comes out of prison, becomes essentially the prime minister. Who? Daniel. You think Daniel was whispering in the ear of the leader? Yes. Who else? She's a positive example. Yes. Nehemiah. Look, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He was in the king's presence every day, every meal. This role of having godly advisors, you don't think Senator Mitch McConnell has advisors? I know one of them. Lanier Swans, one of his advisors. I get an email from her every day, a blast email, alerting the Christian coalition groups what's going on. Mitch McConnell has the wherewithal to know that Christians are an important part of his constituency, and he keeps us informed. We have access to him through Lanier Swan. So I know that if I need to get any word to Mitch McConnell about anything, I can tell Lanier. And she whispers it in his ear. Your role is very important. All right, go back to your place. So our evangelicals have a vested interest in some of them taking positions of influence around a leader, right? I mean, even though it would be great to have Drew in the seat, I guess the next best thing is to having Drew whispering in the elected official's ear if Drew has influence with them. And this happens all the time. Unfortunately, there's a lot of ungodly people whispering in the ears of some of these people, even some of our godly people. Does that make you a little nervous? Should make you a little nervous. I want you guys to just chat for a moment amongst yourselves as evangelicals. And the reporter can kind of listen in. I want you all to chat and tell me what you're going to do to change the composition of that group, to get more believers in there. All right, y'all talk amongst yourself quietly. So would you agree with me that we have a little bit of a problem here? I mean, no? Who said no? Why don't you think we have a problem? Now, you're not left-handed, but why do you think we have a problem?
I don't know, because I think that if they talked in our ear, we could be pretty good. But.
Do you have a godly advisor whispering in your ear? Oh, he does, all right? And you whisper in her ear.
And she thinks he's cool because he's a basketball player and his father's a race car driver. Okay, I'm a little nervous about all of this myself. So we give these guys authority, all right? Governor, we're going to give them a little bit of authority. So you're the constitutional officer in the state. So you guys have the authority. Each, you four, go stand by a window, and when I tell you, when the governor tells you we're going to darken the blinds, you two guys, one of you, you go back to the back set of lights back there, and when we tell you, we want you to turn out the lights. Now, what happens, Governor, on this is elected officials, you got those two windows. Okay, we're going to get all of those windows. What happens on this, Governor, is, see if you agree with me on this, that people that we put into office do things that impact the environment around us. Do you agree? Yeah, can you think of some examples when you've seen that happen?
That impact the environment around us?
I'm not talking about
the cultural,
like water. I'm talking about the culture, cultural.
Yeah, I mean, the stimulus bill, that has impacted the environment tremendously and will continue to do so for generations.
Can you think of anything else?
Recently, we can decide to go to war, and that's going to impact our environment. We can decide to make public policy. We can decide to, I think the gentleman was talking about welfare programs. You know, we can decide things about public education, anything. I mean, and let's face it, if you have influence in public education, you have influence over the whole next generation of constituency. So, yeah, we can do all kinds of things to impact our environment.
All right. So you guys, on the count of three, I want you to turn the lights out and dim the blinds. Governor, why don't you just go over there behind that wall and turn those lights out as well, the executive lights up there on the front. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. So these elected officials have the ability to make decisions because they've been given certain authority. Dr. Moeller mentioned this authority. And that authority sometimes includes access to things that you and I don't have access to. And they have the ability to turn things off and turn things on. And as a result of that, the whole environment could change. And if they lit some candles in here with smells that you didn't like, they could change the odor. They could change the temperature if they had control over these air-conditioned boxes and they controlled the light. So here you are sitting here in the culture, minding your own business, and these elected officials are doing things that change the environment around you. Fortunately, they are elected, and you could say to them, hey, I don't like it so dark. Who's your representative? Which one is your representative?
Caleb.
All right, let's say that your entire district said, you know what, we don't like it so dark. We don't like that. And so he maybe with his authority flicks the light on. Everybody else leaves the blinds alone, but your guy is responding to you. So he has the ability to change part of the environment. So here's the challenge for us evangelicals, is infiltrating this culture enough where we have quality people to run for office who can win. I mean, Governor, come back over here. I mean, Can everyone win?
No.
I mean, were you that pleased with John McCain as a candidate? I mean, when you put John McCain besides Obama, could you see some strong differences?
Yeah.
So here, a lot of evangelicals really forced to get behind John McCain. And we have a guy who is just not that quality of a guy. It's not hard to see how he got beat, right? I mean, having a guy like, you know, a Mike Huckabee or a Bobby Jindal or a Sarah Palin out there out front might have been a little more attractive. I don't know that we would have won. But, and again, the college is not endorsing anyone here, and I'm not endorsing anyone here, but I'm just pointing out the fact that the person makes a difference. And when we are not
if we're small in ranks already, which we are, and then we don't have sharp folks to come out and run, I mean, you're thinking it's really good, but it may, you may not, what's your name?
Beth.
Beth, you may not be able to run because you've got children and you're not in a place where you can run. So you can't run, and you can't run because of this. You're providing for your family, and Drew, you want to be a missionary. You can't run, and you can't run because of this. And all of a sudden, we only have a couple people that's available, and they're really not that great. And then we get beat again. So don't we have a vested interest in seeing young people come from our ranks who are smart, yeah, articulate, sharp, good on the issues, and able to get along with lots of different people? Who's my timekeeper? Yeah, how am I doing? Huh? 15 more minutes? Okay. So, you know, see, you get elected to office, and you forget about the people. Oh, okay, all right. All right, evangelicals, you can go back and permeate the society. Elected officials, come back to your rightful place. Turn your lights, change the environment, turn the lights back on. You may go back to, no, you stand behind the elected officials. You're always over there. Media never sleeps. So, just don't stand on my mic cord. Thank you. What did I do with my glasses? All right, Governor, you can head back to your seat. Thank you. Well, if we're going to get quality people, we need the mind of Christ. I sure hope that you guys will continue to get training in apologetics. And this is part of why Voice does this event. But this is only a couple of days. Why not go to the summit for 2 weeks when you're 16? It's held at Bryan College or out in Colorado Springs. Spend 2 weeks. Why not go to the Focus on the Family Institute? Spend a semester there. Y'all, we're not getting enough of this in our youth groups. There's just not enough time and not enough concentration, not enough specific interest, and it's very difficult for a youth pastor to throw something this intense together. And if it's, I mean, there's no need to reinvent the wheel anyway. We should take advantage of stuff that's already out there. So I sure hope that you're working on your worldview, because this biblical worldview is going to determine how you vote on these issues like embryonic stem cell research that you hadn't had that much time to study because you've been at the racetrack, right? And you've been playing basketball, and it's a busy life. I mean, practice at 7 o'clock and games, and you just hadn't had that much time. You got camps during the summer. So it's hard. We need to be able to have some time to build this in. Political activism is oftentimes very incremental in how we change things in our culture. And I know sometimes a lot of Christians feel like, incremental, that sounds like compromise. Look, we need to take what ground we can take. Did any of you see the movie Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace, with the story of William Wilberforce and how he incrementally chipped away until he got a majority in Parliament to be able to stop the slave trade in Great Britain. It took him a long time to do it. He made progress a little bit at a time. And we need to do the same thing. Unfortunately, when we elect people like we've got elected in the U.S. Congress right now, that they are quickly undoing any kind of gains that we may have made. And I don't know if you guys are keeping up with what's happening on the Supreme Court of the United States, but we just need one more person on there to overturn Roe. We just need one. Unfortunately, barring some accidental appointment that Obama makes, and God can do that, and we need to be praying that Obama, even though he wants to put someone in there that's going to support Roe, we need to pray that he accidentally puts someone in that overturns it. And God can certainly do that. God can confuse leaders. He can do it. And we need to pray that he would do it.
this mentoring thing, we had Drew over here working with the representative. Y'all, if you're not being discipled by someone, being mentored by someone, please consider it. Even if it's someone just that's still, you know, older in your youth group, but more mature, more sober-minded than you are, ask them to spend, you know, the summer discipling you, or spend a month, or go through this book with you, or whatever. We need to be mentored. And I remember when I was at the University of Georgia at the Baptist Student Union, the BSU president, my freshman year, asked if I would like to be discipled and go through C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, and I said, no. Stupid. What else did I have to do? I mean, why was going to football games and everything else more important than doing that? And I turned down a golden opportunity to grow spiritually. So we really need to accelerate each other's growth, and mentoring can do it, because the proximity to power principle is in play, that as guys like Drew get close to representatives, they can have that influence, like some of the ones that we talked about Esther having influence, Daniel, Joseph, Nehemiah. And when you're close to people of influence, you have the ability yourself to influence them. And then this dynamic duo principle that I often talk about, where you connect up with another person. God brings you sovereignly in relationship with someone else, and you team up to do something. Maybe it's in your community. Maybe you say, you know what? This happened in Cincinnati. Who was from near Cincinnati? Phil Burris teamed up with some people, and they ran every adult club out of Cincinnati. That's an amazing thing today, that so few people could do that. And they incrementally put those people out of business in Cincinnati, one of the few cities in America where this has happened. And really, it is all a credit to a man named Phil Burris, living right in your community. You guys would do well to have him come speak to your youth group, or you go and be with him, you know, for have him speak at his office. There's very few people who have had the kind of impact in shutting down adult entertainment as the way Phil Burris right there in Cincinnati has done. We've got so many biblical examples of this happening, where you team up with people and you are more effective with another person than you are by yourself. Think about Moses and how timid he was until his brother hooked up with him. Think about Ezra in Jerusalem when the walls were down, how discouraged he was. You didn't hear anything about him until Nehemiah got there and rebuilt that wall, and then revival broke out. Read it towards the end of Nehemiah. Ezra was the priest, but his ministry was accelerated because of Nehemiah. You know what? Maybe your ministry will be accelerated because of your work with someone. It happened to me with a guy named John Rao that I teamed up with, and he really mentored me and trained me. My whole ministry of Team Pack started because I happened to be with him in a prayer meeting at the state capitol. And God gave me the idea to start this, and he affirmed it and gave me a place, a church office to do it, and said, Tim, this is a great idea. God's in this. And he accelerated my work. Look, this is discipleship is a key dynamic in the New Testament. And we need to be doing it more, don't we? I know we're busy. I know we've got a lot going. But it's so important. How are we doing our time? Dynamic duo principle. And then learning to serve those in authority. Dr. Moeller talked about authority in this book, The Making of a Leader, that I highly recommend to you. It's a hard book. It's an academic book. I've got a copy of it in the back if any of you want to see it, so you can get the ISBN number. But this book talks so much about principles of authority. He brings up, J. Robert Clinton brings up Watchman Nee's 10 Commandments of Spiritual Authority. I know we live in a culture that kind of poo-poos authority. But authority is very biblical. And I work for a U.S. congressman. I get his email
And people are so disrespectful. We live in such a disrespectful culture that doesn't respect authority. And it should not be that way in the church. We need to set the pace on this. We need to honor those in authority. I don't like these talk show guys who make fun of the president or any other person that's been elected to office. I think once they've been elected, once they hold a position of authority, we need to be praying for them. We need to honor them. We need to try to influence them. But we don't need to mock them. And a lot of times I think we take our cues in the body of Christ from the Rush Limbaughs of the world on his fourth marriage, or the Sean Hannitys, who's a nice guy, but you know, but not somebody I want discipling me, or the Bill O'Reillys. And that's, we should be taking our cue from the Word of God and from guys like Dr. Mueller. I want to wrap up with this. Some of you have heard of Truett Cathy. Most of you obviously have eaten Chick-fil-A. You ate it today. Truett Cathy signs the flyleaf of his books with this verse, Proverbs 22:1. A good name is better than great riches. I remember when I was 16 years old, going to the Atlanta Airport Rotary Club to get the little Rotary Club Student of the Year certificate. I was a student body president at my school. And after the meeting, this little man came up to me afterwards and said, "Hey, son, I'd like for you to come over to my office. I'd like to talk with you." So I drove my little 67 Chevrolet customized pickup with chrome reverse mags and an 8-track tape player, tourney cover, Firestone 60s on it, over to Mr. Cathy's office. And I sat down. I sat down in a chair, and he gave me a set of Charles Stanley tapes. I don't know what tapes were. Gave me a set of tapes. Gave me a set of Zig Ziglar "See You at the Top" tapes. Gave me a Radio Shack tape recorder, which is the equivalent of an iPod shuffle, I guess. And he gave me a check for $50. And he said, "I look for young men who are leaders. And I want you to listen to this material. I want you to grow in your faith in Christ. And I want you to come back and see me in 4 years, and I'll give you a Chick-fil-A store." So off I went, and I listened to those tapes. I didn't have a cassette. We didn't have cassette players, I don't think, back then. So I had to use the little Radio Shack thing and go through batteries after batteries. And I wore those tapes out. I had my own business. I owned a car cleanup shop company when I was 16. I had some employees, and they listened. I had them listen to the tapes. "You guys listen to them. I'm not going to pay you unless you listen to these tapes." I used my authority, forced them to listen to it. You know, some 16-year-old dictator I was. And God really began to work on me. And Truett Cathy, whose name is synonymous with generosity, leadership, character, quality, helping orphans, proclaiming the gospel, this man had a great influence on me. I came back in 4 years. I had my fiance on my arm. And he said, "Well, I've got a store." And he asked me how I was doing, how I was growing. The tapes had an impact on me. And he said, I've got a store in Texas or Ohio. No offense to my Ohio friends. But I said, "Oh, no, sir, I can't, sir. I can't leave the state. You know, I'm 20 years old now. Sir, I can't leave the state. I'm going to run for governor one day, and I can't leave Georgia." He said, "What year? I want to write it down." But he began to support my ministry, and he's been friends ever since and has had a great influence on me. But here's a man that knew how to identify leadership and to encourage and accelerate it. And when he signs his books, he writes this verse in because his name is valuable to him. Let me ask you about your name. What's your last name?
Kilgore.
You need to make your name mean something. It's more valuable than all the money that you can earn. Your name, your reputation, your character, which, by the way, your character is something that you have control over. There's a lot in your life you don't have control over, like where you live, how much money your parents have,
what kind of car your family drives. You don't have control over that, but you have control over your character. And if you're not working on that each and every day, then you should be. Thank you. You should be working on that. I want to close, if I can find my glasses, with a story. And I absolutely have to have my glasses to read this story. Did I put them in here? I've got to have my glasses. Y'all, did I walk around and drop them? Yes. You know what? That's sad. That is sad. Let me end with this story. This is not a story. This guy, Captain Arlo Olson's plaque, hangs in South Dakota. I saw it there myself. Got this off of it 2 weeks ago when I was in Pierre, South Dakota. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor for this. On October 13, 1943, when the drive across the Volturno River began, Captain Olson and his company spearheaded the advance of the regiment through 30 miles of mountainous enemy territory in 13 days. Placing himself at the head of his men, Captain Olson waded through the chest-deep water of the raging Volturno River. And despite point-blank Nazi machine gun fire aimed directly at him, made his way to the opposite bank, threw two hand grenades in the gun position, killing the crew. When an enemy machine gun nest 150 yards distant opened fire on his company, Captain Olson advanced upon the position in a slow, deliberate walk. I'm not embellishing any of this. This is right off the plaque. Can you see this? I need to send this to Ken Wells, who made Amazing Grace, and tell him he needs to make this into a movie. At a slow, deliberate walk. Although five German soldiers threw hand grenades at him from a range of 5 yards, Captain Olson dispatched them all, whatever that means. I guess picking up, throwing them back. Oop, you dropped something. He dispatched them all, picked up a machine pistol, and continued toward the enemy. Advancing to within 15 yards of the position, he shot it out with the foe, killing 9 and seizing the post. The guy's a Rambo. Throughout the next 13 days, Captain Olson led combat patrols, acted as company number one scout, and then Captain Olson conducted and maintained unbroken contact with the enemy. On October 27th, Olson conducted a platoon in attack on a strong point, crawling to within 25 yards of the enemy and then charging the position. Despite continuous machine gun fire, which barely missed him, Captain Olson made his way to the gun and killed the crew with his pistol. When the men saw their leader make this desperate attack, they followed him and overran the position. Continuing the advance, Captain Olson led his company to the next objective at the summit of Mount Nicola. Although the company to his right was forced to take cover from the furious automatic and small arms fire, which was directed upon him and his men with equal intensity, Captain Olson waved his company into a skirmish line, and despite the fire of machine gun, which singled him out as his sole target, he led the assault, which drove the enemy away. While making a reconnaissance for defense positions, Captain Olson was fatally wounded. Ignoring his severe pain, this intrepid officer completed his reconnaissance, supervised the location of his men in the best defense position, refused medical aid until all of his men had been cared for, and died as he was being carried down the mountain. That's with a guy who was born in Iowa and grew up in South Dakota. My friends, we are in a battle. We need some Captain Olsons. We need some people in this company. We need you to charge these defensive positions. Gay marriage is coming in this country if we do not do something. And you are the targets. It's your mind that's the targets. We need to charge the position. We need to charge this position of abortion. There's so many other areas out there. We need you in the platoon. And we need Captain Olsons who will step up and lead this with intrepid courage. We can't do it without you. The Dr. Mohlers and Dan DeWitts and me and these other guys, we're getting old. We need the young blood. Would you join us? We need you. The political part of it is an important piece. It's not all of it, but it's important enough that some of you may be called to sit in these seats. And we need you. Some of you may be called to whisper in their ears. Others of you may get a law degree and become a judge. Some of you may be appointed to boards and positions, but we need you. We need you available. Let me pray for you as we close. Lord, thank you for these students. I do pray, Lord, that you would speak to them clearly about their role in this culture, that they might be as Captain Olson, charging the enemy, as it were. Lord, and may you give us success as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen.